Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsor for our program, and that's GrowMark, locally owned and globally strong. In this week's program, we're going to talk about integrating digital media into your marketing efforts. But before we get there, let's just give a quick review of some of the things the ZimCom team has been up to. This past week was Ag Media Summit, and I think it was a record breaker, especially in the Info Expo, which is kind of like a trade show set up for companies to develop relationships with agricultural journalists. And I don't remember the exact number. I'm going to try to find out, but I believe that was a record. So we had a good time in the Big Easy. If you go to agwired.com, you can just do the little drop down for categories. There's one for Ag Media Summit, and that'll filter all of the story posts, and it'll give you the link to where you can find photos if you'd like to see yourself or see who was there. Looking ahead, the ZimCom team is going to be back on the agriblogging highway again this week. I'll be attending the Cattle Industry Summer Conference down in Kissimmee, Florida, while Cindy will be going to Indianapolis for the AgCareers.com HR Roundtable. So you'll be seeing plenty of story posts from those events on AgWired this week. Well, let's get back to this week's conversation. I spoke with Shelley Kramer. She is the founder of V3, a Kansas City integrated marketing and social media agency. She was one of the presenters at the Ag Media Summit, and her presentation was on integrating digital media into your marketing efforts and measuring ROI. We all want to do that, don't we? Shelley, we'll talk about your presentation in a moment. But first, tell me about yourself, your company, and where you're from and what you do.
I own an ad agency called V3 Integrated Marketing. You can find us on the web at v3im.com. And we're a full-service digital agency. Do a lot of anything that's on the web, we do.
I understand that. So you were talking about integrating digital media into a marketing effort. And then, most importantly, measuring your return on investment with that. How do we do that?
Well,
in a short statement.
Well, I think that, you know, the most important thing is you have to start out and you have to have a goal. And you say, I want to, you know, I'm going down this path and I want to result in this happening. And then you develop a strategy and you decide, I might use YouTube to help us reach this goal. I might use other social channels to help us reach this. I might use blog content. So you have to decide what your goal is and what strategy best to use to help you reach your goal. And then you have to use tools like your analytics tools and tools that allow you to monitor the online space and show you what kind of results you had so that you know how close you were to reaching your goal.
So you're saying we should actually have a plan to know what we're doing?
I know, color me crazy, but yeah, you should have a plan instead of just throwing it all up against the wall and hope that it works.
What, as you have, especially in the social media area with your clients, what are some of the things that you find, I want to say, most challenging for you in working with your clients to make sure they understand how this or these things can be a tool to help them accomplish a goal?
I think the biggest challenge is always that, for some reason, people, when it comes to digital marketing, oftentimes that includes a lot of the social channels, and people don't understand that you really just need to act online the same way that you do in real life, and that we no longer have anonymous screen names. You are Shelley Kramer here, there, and everywhere, and you know it requires actually standing up and saying, this is who I am, and this is what I do, and this is what I believe in, and all that kind of thing. But I think that's the biggest thing that people don't understand, is that just being yourself, whether you're a huge brand or a small to medium-sized company or Shelley Kramer, you know, whoever you happen to be personally, just kind of owning that spot on the internet is really the first step.
So why do you think it's so hard for companies and people who, you know, are kind of struggling to come to grips with some of the changes in the way we market today to understand that this is an online conversation in a way, and it is nothing different than we do when we're at a cocktail party or, you know, visiting with friends, so to speak. But that does seem to be very much a common occurrence.
Well, I think that the most important thing to realize in terms of the shift, and sometimes there are words that I loathe using, but there really has been a paradigm shift, and all of the power in today's internet-based world is with the consumer. And so when I go to a restaurant and I have a bad experience, I am writing a Yelp review, or I'm posting about it on Twitter, or if I go to see a new movie that's just released yesterday, I may be sitting in the movie theater tweeting about how great it is or about how bad it was, which could impact then, you know, the movie industry is reeling from this because there's, you know, so much buzz happens in advance or as soon as a movie comes out, it can really impact results. But my point is that we consumers are in control and brands think, oh my gosh, I can't give up this control. Somebody's going to say something bad about me, therefore I can't participate. I mean, you need to realize that people are going to be saying bad things about you, but you being there allows you to hear them, to participate, to solve customers' problems, it allows you to immediately address issues instead of having things really blow up on you. So it's a great opportunity, but you just have to be willing to take it. But that empowerment of the consumer, that's not going away. So you just have to figure out how it is you're going to deal with it because it's not going to change.
What if your attorney won't let you?
You know what? That happens all the time. And, you know, our clients sometimes are in highly regulated industries and all that sort of thing. And so the things that we do, blog content that we help our clients generate, I mean, you know, it depends on the industry. But we always have a view toward, you know, what does the legal department think about this? And what are the liabilities there? And so I'm certainly not advocating, nor is anybody that knows what they're doing, that you just dive into this willy-nilly without any regard for ramifications. You have to use the same care that you would in any other channels. You know, it's just, it kind of all applies the same.
So let's say we've decided we are going to bring some social media elements into a campaign of some kind to help generate some buzz or whatever it might be. How, at the end of the term that you've written the plan for, hopefully, are you going to measure the results of that?
Well, we don't measure, you know, at the end of something. We're measuring on a daily basis. And we're using a variety of different tools depending on what it is we're measuring. But, you know, if we're doing if we're doing something with video, we're looking at YouTube stats. Our analytics are the absolute, I mean, I said this in my presentation, I look at my own analytics and the analytics of my clients every single day. So there's never a surprise. We always know, you know, what people are doing. But the other point of that, you know, we do a lot of research with for our clients, and we use paid tools like Spiral 16 or Radiant 6, those kind of things. And when you're using the online space to gather business intelligence, what that allows you to do is to identify trends that you might not even occur to you that would have existed. That allows you to develop a new product in response to a trend that had you not been listening, you wouldn't have known. Yeah. So, you know, I believe in using all those tools to...
Well, it's kind of hard for people to understand that, especially when you talk about social media, this is kind of a two-way thing. It's a two-way conversation. Not only is your customer hopefully learning or getting something that they want or need, but you are too. And it's not just, I'm just pushing my brochure out in another way. So I love those comments. How do you weight and bring into your evaluation what I call kind of more anecdotal type information? That could be a YouTube video which generates a series of comments that, let's just say, it's positive. Somebody saying, this looks great, I'm going to go buy one tomorrow. I mean, that seems like that would be just great news to have. How do you bring that into the evaluation process?
That's part of what we report. I mean, we do comprehensive monthly reporting on behalf of all of our clients, and so we know the top 5 blog posts, the top 5 videos, how many times it were shared, how many comments there were, what the comments were. We look at sentiment too. You know, we don't just look at what the top negative comments were, what the top positive comments. So we're looking at that all the time. We're looking at that for sure on a monthly basis.
So
and reporting it.
And hopefully somebody's reading the report. Right.
Yes, that would be nice. But at least it exists, you know. So hopefully, yes, I'm sure my clients are reading it.
Just maybe just a final comment on the value, need, benefits of working with a company like yours as opposed to, well, maybe we should just do this in-house ourselves. I mean, I know that you can do whatever you want or need to do, but maybe there are some who are kind of afraid of this and just would they feel better if they really approached a company? And how do they know how to evaluate a company like what you do?
Well, I think that you, first of all, we work very often with our clients as kind of an adjunct to their marketing department. If they're a big company or sometimes for smaller companies, we work as like their outsourced marketing department. You know, and from a financial standpoint, you know, you can hire somebody with 10 or 15 years of experience and pay them whatever, you know, $100,000 a year, or you could work with a firm like mine that brings 20 years per person experience to the table and pay them X amount of dollars and just figure out, you know, what your budget is. What we bring to the table a lot of times is that we, because we're so entrenched in the digital space, we can get you from zero to here, whatever that number is, very quickly. And sometimes you can't necessarily do that with a team of one. You know, if you're hiring a marketing director or a social media director or something like that. And the other thing is that a lot of times, many, many times, companies of all sizes make the mistake of hiring somebody, and this is nothing against young people, but we like to, the intern can take care of social media, or the kid just out of college can take care of social media. And the reality of it is this is your brand, and you're putting your brand completely and totally in somebody else's hands when they're helping, when they're working with you from the social channel standpoint. So if that person doesn't understand marketing, doesn't understand PR, doesn't understand crisis communications, you could potentially be setting yourself up for trouble. So, you know, there's, and it doesn't mean that you shouldn't hire somebody. It just, you know, it runs the gamut. And when it comes to hiring somebody, you know, I gave you tools today in terms of doing your homework. You know, look at their website, look at what they're doing in the social channel, read their blog, look at the proposal and the things that they tell you that they should do. You know, if they tell you that they can establish a Facebook presence for you and, you know, get you to 5,000 fans in 30 days, really? You know, because that's probably not your audience. So anyway, I mean, you know, that's the cool thing about the internet is that you can do your own homework and see what people have to say about working with those people that you're thinking about working with.
Well, I couldn't agree with all of that more because that's what we do. And I will say it because I'm not ashamed to say that even for a mid-50s-year-old guy, when I hear that comment, well, maybe we should just have the intern take care of it. Wait a minute now. I'm maybe your age or older, and this is what I do for a living.
You know? I'm 51.
I wasn't going to ask, but I think that was just such a great point to make because I can't tell you how many times I've heard
all the time.
You know. Well, thank you so much. That is Shelley Kramer. She was one of our presenters here at the Ag Media Summit.
Well, that is the Zimcast for this week. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.